Hello and welcome to another Blue Toon Podcast, your podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. The Blue Toon Podcast is sponsored by Marco's Chipper. You can't beat the scran doing it Marco's. I'm Colin Byers and this week we'll be continuing our look back at the 1920 season as we delve into the second half of the season. Here's part two of our season review. Right, and so into the what turned out to be the second half of the season then, December. Three home fixtures, one away to Airdrie. Two wins. Probably feel as though we should have done a wee bit better.
Probably, yeah. Considering the fact that the previous month, obviously, we'd beaten Raith and Clyde, we didn't hit the ground running into the start of December. Got two wins with Stranraer and Clyde, but you probably, on the basis of three home games, it is probably something you're looking at to get maximum points, considering where we were in the league. So probably, on reflection, yeah, disappointed that it was just the two wins rather than the three at home.
Well, the positives were the two wins, obviously, Stranraer and Clyde, both clean sheets, which we kind of really mentioned too often this season.
No, it's a bit of a rarity. So it was fine, especially Clyde, that they're a tricky team to play against at times, so it was fine to keep a clean sheet, especially in that game.
And we've mentioned that game a few times, so we don't need to mention it again as to the incidents that happened. But these five game in particular was a bit disappointing, considering obviously having lost to Airdrie the previous week. It's probably one of those games that we'll probably mention a few times as well. But it's one of those games where we've the result probably didn't suit the actual performance.
No, the performance is pretty good. But as the story was with the Hill season, it was a couple of defensive mistakes and errors that sort of cost us big style. Again, it was a game where they didn't have much chances, but the chances that they did have, they were clinical, and that's come down to our poor defending.
And going into the start of that month, you kind of felt as though that we were at the point for, we were actually looking up the table rather than sort of looking down. And December was a big month because going into January, we were going to be facing Raith and Falkirk back to back. So at that time, you would have felt that the confidence was, wouldn't say it was high, but it was better than it had been previously.
Yeah, I think we probably took confidence for the beating of Raith and Clyde in November. The East Fife game at home in December sort of knocked us a little bit, especially the defensive errors, and as you said, it was on the back of the defeat to Airdrie. But the performances were good. It didn't seem like a team that was struggling for confidence, a team that were languishing near the bottom half of the table. But as you rightly said, we were always looking up. You know, any time that we did recordings, it was a case of we're maybe just a couple of points off promotion players, so we're always looking up rather than down and below. But the poor run that we had at the back end of the season sort of left us a wee bit nervous.
So into January then, into the new year, obviously the back-to-back games against Falkirk, we didn't think we were going to take much out of them, and that kind of was the way. We didn't get anything at all from them.
No, I say quite a lot with Raith and Falkirk, there are three-hit games, but they're only a free hit to a certain extent, and then you look at the position that we were in January, the results hadn't quite gone our way in December, the two defeats with East Fife and Airdrie. You were looking for better performances, I think, within two games. Maybe the result was inevitable in the end, but the performances in them games weren't great, and that's when you started just to, maybe a seed of doubt was creeping in. You know, the performances, the mistakes of the East Fife game and then the poor performances as a whole for Falkirk and Raith sort of didn't help settle us a wee bit.
And as we mentioned in previous episodes, the early goals against these teams didn't help. Conceding early against Raith, conceding early against Falkirk, you're giving yourself an uphill battle and you're chasing the game after that.
I can't remember if it was Falkirk or Raith. I think it was Raith, but I think we've conceded in the first 15 minutes every time we've played them
away from home,
whether it be in the Betfred Cup, League Cup, you know, League. And that's something that we probably do need to eradicate for next season whenever that does start up. But defensively, we need to improve and that sort of thing. Maybe game management, you know, we'll maybe try to go out and get an early goal when sometimes it's better to sit for 15, 20 minutes and play your way into the game. I think we've done that effectively enough this season. We seem to be too gung-ho at certain points in the game and then we're caught out at the back.
And then it did end with a win against Dumbarton, off the back of their cup exploits against Aberdeen. Maybe fitness came into that one?
Yeah, potentially. Dumbarton played really well against Aberdeen, or you could say Aberdeen were poorer against Dumbarton, whatever way you want to look at it. But Dumbarton, I thought, were good on the day. I know we got the win, but I thought their performance was pretty good. We could have scored a few more, truth be told. But, you know, it's fine just to get the 3 points, because it wasn't a great January for us.
And those seven games ended, the four in December and the three in January, yielded 3 wins and 4 losses. It's kind of been the story of the season. Not really getting a run of wins as such, but it's either one or the other. You just didn't know what team was going to turn up.
It's far too inconsistent. I think that's the biggest problem. You can go and beat teams like Raith and Clyde, but then you struggle in games against East Fife and Airdrie. There's no consistency with the performances. You know, it's either Jekyll and Hyde, like you've said, it's neither here nor there. Some of them's good, then the next week you can play the same team and the performance is really poor. And defensive errors, which shouldn't have been there 2 weeks ago, seem to come in one game as well. But it's a mixed bag, to say the least.
Yeah. And then February, we moved into February. February was probably the worst month that we've had, which, given how the season ended, was maybe a blessing that the season did end. 4 games in February, 3 losses, 1 draw. It wasn't great.
No, absolutely. I wouldn't say panic set in, because we'd still had like 3 months of the season to go. But you could see that there was nervousness in certain parts of the team. We didn't seem comfortable at the back. There was games that you look back on it and you think, we've gotten away with it. You know, maybe September, October time, the mistakes weren't as bad as what they were in February, but you were being punished more, I think, at that period of time. I think the Forfar game at Ballymore, the 1-1 draw, we did really well in it. I think, as you said in the previous episode, Bowen had a really good chance with it, a couple of good chances, but then they've got a free kick in the last 5 minutes. It's a long ball. It's been in the air for a good couple of seconds, and we've conceded from it. It's one of them you want your centre defender to get ahead on it or your keeper to come and claim. And it's that small fractions which could have proved pivotal in the end.
Obviously, getting into February came off the back of Rory McAllister leaving. I just wonder if that maybe had more of an impact on the players and maybe even the team as a whole than maybe they were letting up.
Yeah, I would agree with that, actually. Ken Rory was struggling for form this season, but I think his presence in the changing room and training, but his experience as well, to help younger boys in trickier situations like the poor run of form that we were on, it probably did cause leave a hole, I should say, when he left.
Yeah. The Montrose game, the second 4-3 of the season doing there, 14 goals doing there. We've conceded 8 of them. Out of those 14, you'd say at least 10 are goal of the season contenders.
I don't know what it was about Montrose versus Peterhead, especially during Lynx Park, but every goal that went in seemed to be an absolute brilliant goal. And the next goal was better than the previous one. Unfortunately, from our point of view, we've been in the receiving end of 2 defeats, though.
Yeah.
Again, we've conceded a lot of goals.
But and that one was particularly difficult because we're 3-0 doing at one point, 3-0 doing at half time, I think, if I remember correctly. And that, even just to get back into the game, I think we got back to 3-2, then conceded again, and then obviously back to 4-3. So, it's one of those games where you felt as though it's a proverbial game of two halves, if you like. But the performance maybe didn't merit the result didn't merit the performance, or vice versa. But over the course of a season, you get what you deserve.
Yeah, and there's too many times this season where we've sort of maybe thrown a game away, but I'm sure you'll tell, was it Dumbarton at the start of the season? We were 2-0 up and got beat 3-2.
3-2, yeah.
There is certain games that you look back and think we should be doing better. Montrose is probably one of them. We've almost given them a 3-0 head start before we've actually decided to start playing, or for whatever reason we've sort of kicked into gear, got back into the game at 3-2, but again conceded the sucker punch of the fourth. It's sort of like the story of the season, really, where you'll play well in certain parts of the game, but we didn't play the full 90 minutes as well as what we should. Because there's a team there that I genuinely think would be disappointed with how the season went. I think they would have been maybe looking for promotion playoffs. They say they would have gotten it because they want it, but the position that we finished probably didn't quite show the talent that is actually within the squad.
And I think the 4-4 game, the last home game, I think that kind of summed up the season as well, because we played really well. Just not taking the chances, and then, as you said, earlier, 4-4 just equalised right at the end.
Yeah, if we'd gotten the second goal against 4-4, we'd have won that game.
I think we probably would have run 3 or 4, I think, as well.
Yeah, the way the game was going, 4-4 were dropping deeper and deeper, and I think if we had scored the second, we would have won the game. And that could have been the springboard to then, you know, would have created a little bit of a gap between us and 4-4. Mm-hmm. Doing it at the bottom. So I think had we won that, it could have been catalyst to go and push on. But we've said that so many times this season. You know, we beat Wraith and we beat Clyde, and we thought, right, that could be it for to go and kick on. We thought Wraith in the Cup, if we could get a decent result there, that again, that could kick our season. It seemed to be every time we've got a good result, we thought that could be the catalyst to go forward. The next game, we put in the poor performances, the defensive errors crept in, and we didn't get the 3 points in whatever game it was.
And just the one game in March then, Falkirk away, 3-0 loss. There's not much you can say about that.
No, again, it's difficult going to places like Wraith and Falkirk, but when you concede so many goals, you're very unlikely to get anything out for the game. It just proves in that game, if you get them early chances, allow them in front of the home supporters to get that early goal, they'll punish you.
And we've said before as well, but it's a different Falkirk from the team that we played in the first game, the 0-0. Once McKinnon left, McCracken and Miller in, they certainly were a different team. And you feel as though that if they had Miller and McCracken in for the start of the season, they probably would have been runaway champions.
Yeah, absolutely. Falkirk had won in quite a few games before Lee Miller and David Crockett took over, and then I think it was you said the other week to me they'd gone, was it 7 games either undefeated or winning in a row when they took over.
Yeah.
So it was a really good bit of form that they took, and as you said, if they started with them or that performance had been from Falkirk at the start, they probably would have been champions for the World Cup.
As based on the performances they had, obviously we just didn't hack in, but going into kind of some things, something else that we don't really know, then we had 8 remaining fixtures, 4 at home, 4 away. By the league ending early, we stayed up. Given the fixtures that we had left, how confident would you have been that we'd have seen out the relegation and stayed up, whether it be 8th or 7th or whenever?
I think we would have done it. I think there is games where we've shown that we can go and beat good teams. You know, best performance of the seasons. We've had really good performances with Clyde and Wraith. There is performances in there. So I think we would have stayed up, but I think it would have been really tight. And yeah, the fact that 4-4 scored so late on against us up at Balmoor, I think would have given them the hope that they could have stayed up. I think if we'd won and 4-4 had obviously lost that game, that would have been the turning point where you might have thought 4-4's got to struggle and we might. Well, you would have maybe said, what, another 3 wins would have maybe seen us secure? I don't know, we're guessing. Maybe 3 in the last 8. You'd have fancied us to pick up points, even if it was 9 points made up of draws, you know, like 2 wins and a couple of draws. I think we would have just about stayed up, yeah.
I think as well, given the fact that we were playing Stranraer at home and 4-4 away, the teams that were below us, even if we didn't win any of the other ones going into that, beating them probably might have been just enough. Getting a result maybe away to Clyde, because we're for some reason our form doing it Clyde is so good at the minute, it's almost another 3-point bunker. I think we would have, I wouldn't say scraped through, but I think we would have certainly avoided automatic relegation comfortably. And I think as well we might have avoided the playoff having beaten Forfar in the third last game.
I think the worrying thing for me, if the season had continued, we lost 3-0 to Falkirk in March, but January, February, March only gave us one win.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the January game against Dumbarton. So that's where my concern comes. I think we would have stayed up, as I said. I think there is performances and results that we could have gotten, but that would have been the concerning part, where it was only one win 3 months. How long does that go before the team start to, you know, set up more defensively and look scared in the park? So I think we had been, even up to, you know, playing Falkirk away, I think we ever looked scared or nervous, but you just wonder, had the season gone on, would that have come to the forefront?
Yeah. So as I say, that was how the season finished then. So thoughts on the entire season then, briefly, without using the word frustrating?
Well, you've taken my word away from it, because it's been a very frustrating season.
Yeah.
But to sum it up, without it, I would say disappointing. Maybe sounds weird considering we just got promoted, but I generally think there is a team and a group of players there, that are capable of so much more. But as performances, I'm sure they'll look back and they've seen that it's been thrown in, that they'll be disappointed with themselves, whether it be as a collective group or their own personal performance. So hopefully next season, depending on the transfers that Jim does, you're looking for a better season and looking up the table rather than looking down next season.
I agree. I think it has been somewhat disappointing. There are performances there, as you said. It is narrow margins. We said it before about the 4-4 game, Boyd hitting the crossbar at the end, Boland's header. I remember a game that Jason Brown had two shots off the line in the same game. In fact, they were back to back. It's just little things like that. It just hasn't gone our way, if you like. And it's all saying, it's all good and saying if, buts, and maybes and things like that. But you know, as the season probably would have progressed, I think we would have definitely stayed up. But all in all, I think you would have felt disappointed. However, if we'd said at the start of the season we were going to stay up, I think everybody would have taken that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like you said, if we'd been told at the start we'd have stayed up, we'd have put your hand off. But given the way the season panned out, I think we can be disappointed with how it ended. But as you said, the small margins. Do you take away defensive errors, little bits of luck here and there, arguments take, add on 10 points. It makes a big difference in a league where, as we've said before, anybody can really beat anybody. You add on that 10 points and you're certainly looking at promotion players rather than looking below you.
And just we'll have a quick look at Jim's business in January then. So January signings then, how did you assess Jim's business then?
Good. I think he signed a real good centre-half with Luke Boland. Ethan was seen having the first couple of games he did, but he looked really good at centre-back. And also he brought in Cook, McCarthy and Boyd. I think given a run for them players and the team, they would have proved to be really good signings, which is why I was relatively confident going at the back end of the season that one win turned up fortunes a wee bit and the confidence through the team would have easily stayed up.
It was interesting that I know we didn't see much of McCarthy, but Boyd, McCarthy and Cook signings, they're different kind of players as to what you would maybe normally associate. And what I mean by that is they seem to be a more skill kind of based player. They want the ball at their feet, and they're quite happy to take on players, which maybe is a slight diversion away from the normal sort of Peterhead player, if you like.
Yeah, it was good to see though, because I think there has been games that we've commented before that we're looking for somebody to unlock the defence a wee bit. You know, teams have come up and sort of played four at the back of a defensive midfielder and we've struggled to break them down. And it's either wingers, Conroy for prime example, likes to cut inside. There was nobody really in the middle of the park if Leach was out injured that could really unlock that defence. I think with them signings coming in, there's a bit of creativity that you'd have hoped would have managed to do it.
And it maybe it's maybe something he was going to look at the rest of the season, but it perhaps was a he was maybe looking at playing two up top for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, maybe the three attacking players coming out. Obviously, he was a fan of playing McAllister up front, but then changed. Derek Lyles at an age that you only got to get 90 minutes out of. And also, Ben Arm and Aidan Smith is somebody that they're looking to push their way into the team, but obviously, Jim isn't really started on this season. So it was maybe going to be a change of formation. We've commented on that before, that he likes to change it time to time, or week to week, as the case was sometimes. So it was maybe a change of direction he was looking to go in.
Yeah, so that's the season finished then. All in all, very disappointing, I think we can sum it up by. And therefore, that's the first season of the Blue Team podcast in the bag as well. So, sum it up, how have you found it?
Yeah, I found it really good. Obviously, first couple of weeks finding our feet, but after that, we're Tuesday night recording, sort of became part of your week. You look forward to speaking about Peterhead, whether it was a good result or a bad result. It was good to speak with Batman on a Tuesday evening. I really enjoyed it.
Was it, because when I brought the idea to you, was you a bit apprehensive about it? Glad you did it, maybe not glad you did it?
Yeah, obviously when you first mentioned the subject, it wasn't something that I was sure how would we go down, but, you know, it seems to have been received well, with people in the club as well, you know, with a lot of good support for it. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it, and hopefully we'll continue it next season.
I think that's the thing, it's been a bonus for us, is the amount of support that we've had in the last few months.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I think the thing that we both said at the start is if nobody's listened to it, fair enough, but we'll just carry on kind of thing. We weren't expecting the response that we got, so it's been really good, not just by the Peterhead fans themselves, but other fans in and around the league as well.
Yeah, it's been really good. You know, it's sort of the worlds have collided together with the podcast, where there's different supporter clubs doing it as well, which is good. And you share ideas, you listen to other people, and you get their thoughts on their team. Something that you maybe hadn't seen. You know, you maybe watch a game against a team, you hear their podcast, and you think, "Oh, I never even knew that." There's little things that you pick up, which is good to hear about other teams. So yeah, it's been really good.
And the one thing that I've kind of noticed as well, particularly since we started doing this, is the appetite for lower league football, and the amount of the fans themselves that are so passionate about the lower league. And I say lower leagues, we're talking sort of Championship and down, and that's been quite. I think that needs to be brought to the attention much more.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's maybe a talking point for another week, but the lack of money in Scottish football, there is an appetite there for fans and clubs and supporters to hear their voice heard. You know, apart from the SPL, there's no, or very rarely, is there a televised game. You didn't see the media promoting it as much as they probably could do. I think there's some really good games, you know, in the Championship, even League One. Last season, Falkirk is a really good tie. Doesn't get the coverage it really merits. The quality in the park sometimes isn't the greatest, but there's definitely an appetite and a hunger there, as you said, for other supporters to make their voice heard.
I've seen even now, very occasionally this season, I've seen Peterhead play some pretty good football, and we've seen highlights of other games. You know, looking at where. Doing our research for maybe our next games and things like that, we looked at highlights maybe of an Airdrie game or a Raith Rovers game or something, and there has been some decent football played.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good players. You know, we've spoken before, players will drop down in division to play regular football, and you've seen that Premier League players dropping down into League One or Championship. There's a lot of really good players out there, and I don't think they get that hype's not the word, but they don't get the coverage that they probably deserve and merit. And that's probably poor on the media side, but I think the podcast, whether it be ourselves or other clubs, it gives that platform for players to be spoken about, and if, you know, a really good performance that's raved about, you put it on social media, you know, it allows other people to see it, which can only be a good thing to advertise your own team, but as well as Scottish football.
And dare I mention the name Gordon Strachan and his exploits in the last few days? He's been poo-pooing the lower league, shall we say.
Yeah, I'd... Very poor comment, I'd say, for Gordon Strachan. I don't want to say too much on it.
But that kind of comment from a player, of a man of his standing in the Scottish game, just shows you the maybe ignorance is the wrong word, but that's how it's maybe summed up. It's just people like that who just have got no clue outside of the Premier League what goes on.
Yeah, I think there are certain guys in the media that are keen that there's a Championship, League One and League Two. I think they're so focused on the Premier League and that is their only talking point that they can't expand on anything else. And some of the comments that you hear by ex-professionals and guys in the media, pundits and whatever, it's almost like they're so out of touch with the rest of Scottish football, part of the Premier League. You know, there's the the ongoing reconstruction. I think we won't speak too much about that. I've done that before, but it's a bit of a shambles how, you know, it's the Premier League teams that can decide the fate of that happens to Rotherham and Kelty Rangers coming up. I think oh, that's wrong. That needs to be changed as well. It's guys that sit in offices at Hampden that decide the future of other teams. I think that's wrong. They've got to have a bigger say. For fans, all that we can do is podcasts at the moment, you know, videos. But there's got to be a bigger say for clubs within the Scottish game, in my opinion.
That's kind of the reason why we started this, because we wanted to kind of promote the clubs a way that we could. And it's the way that we could try and help expose the club in a different kind of style and fashion.
Yeah, it's been good that we've been able to bring that to the forefront. You know, we've done it where possible every Tuesday night. It's been a consistent thing, and we've tried to promote the good. Also, there's been performances that have been good, but you can't hate everything good. There's got to be the negative and with it. And there's probably people out there that think some lower criticism may have been over the top, maybe not. But it's been fine that we've been able to put our opinion on it on social media and go for there.
So, in a word then, back for next season?
Yes.
Excellent. So that's it for the first season of the Blue Toon podcast. Our sincere thanks go to you for listening and your support this season, and we hope you'll continue into next. Our thanks also go to our sponsor, Marco's Chipper. We appreciate the support, Marco. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you all again next season, whenever that may be. Cheers.